Hello everyone, welcome to GQHQ PQ. My name's Scott and I'm going to be hosting a quiz tonight at Malone's in Leith.
Exciting. I popped down there the other day. It's a lovely new venue. Really, really lovely.
Yeah.
Looking sparkling in there.
I'm Louis. It's 3 months until Christmas.
To the day as well.
Oh, Lord. Bloody hell. Louis's already been spreading the Christmas cheer with some chocolate snowmen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the three-month creep.
In the office today, yes.
Thank you for that.
That's going to paint a picture of myself as a big Christmas enthusiast.
Yeah.
I'm not a massive Christmas enthusiast, but, you know, apart from the tattoos.
Yeah, and all the decorations that are constantly up around your desk. Yeah,
I've got Santa tattooed on my knuckles.
My friends have already got their Halloween decorations up. They go full out like Christmas for Halloween.
Oh, really?
It's looking at spectacularly gothic.
Spooky Christmas.
Yeah, very much sort of jack-o'-lantern. You know those sort of adult things you get in butchers of the chain links where you push through to go to the back? It's like a jack-o'-lantern version of that, etc. They've gone like 5 weeks out. They've gone full Halloween.
Wow.
When you said links, I was thinking
sausages.
they've got sausages hanging down instead of a curtain. Yeah. That's spooky.
That would attract the flies more than anything.
Ooh, what sort of meat room is this?
And who are you?
I'm Jack. I'm the events manager, and I am not hosting anything this evening, but I have the past couple of nights in the student union in Edinburgh. For those who don't know, it's TVET, is the Edinburgh University Student Union. It's closing down for 2 years of renovations. Not sure if it's rock concrete related or not. That's probably outdated material by the time this podcast comes out. But yeah, so I did karaoke in there till 1 a.m. on Saturday night, and a quiz there last night, which was very enjoyable. Even though when I turned up, literally just getting set up, the fire alarm went off. Oh. And we all had to head out, and they claimed that someone had done it deliberately. So I was wondering, is this some kind of spiteful
prank
Edinburgh quizzer trying to steal my thunder?
Prank week, muck up week. Did you have muck up weeks in school?
No.
Or like towards the end?
Yeah, we'd muck up.
More muck up day?
Day?
Yeah.
What's that? What is that? That's, is that where you get like throw eggs at each other?
It's like with the seniors, like the whoever's leaving in the next, or at the end of the year.
Muck off?
Can't be called muck off.
Well, you just clean everything.
Something I've not thought about in a while.
Well, there we go, points to me. But yeah, and then they just pull pranks. I think ours was like, one of our friends owned a Mini and he just drove it into the school and just parked it. And the teacher's like, are you sure you want to do this? There's a lot of people around. Like, I'm like, okay, maybe we'll drive. Oh, like, we can't do it now, it's lunchtime. So.
Classic, absolutely classic. Yeah. Do you want a bonus little quiz question?
Yeah.
To start with, in TVET last year, the Edinburgh University Student Union, how many portions of nachos were served over the whole of last year?
At TVET?
At TVET, Edinburgh University Student Union.
Hmm.
I'm going to round it up to the nearest, whole number that I can remember.
Okay. It's a trick question. It's not on the menu. I'm going to say 620,000.
Portions of nachos.
Yeah. Okay. Is that a lot? That's probably a lot.
What did you say?
620K.
One less than Scott.
Well, Louis's closer.
Damn it.
Yes.
The answer is 43,000 portions of nachos. It's about 120 a day, every day.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was insane.
That's a lot.
But you guessed...
Yeah, sorry, I kind of ruined your game.
620,000. So that's... I'm trying to do the math on that. That isn't a knot. That is tens of thousands a day.
Wow.
But that's it's so
that
interesting.
Is,
to my
that
other
is a lot, Scott. Yeah.
I mentioned.
I don't know how many people go there.
I mentioned it to my other. I said asked the same question to my other mate, and she guessed like 600.
All right.
That is the biggest guess range of any question ever.
Okay. What's it?
When was the last time you bought nachos?
Bought nachos.
Maybe my life's changed, but I feel like that craze has slowed down.
Yeah,
people were mad for nachos for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember I had nachos 3 nights in a week once.
Whoa, look at these epic nachos.
I made my own.
Lovely.
And then went somewhere, and they were very disappointing where I went.
Oh.
And then I made my own again to redeem.
Respect.
What a nacho sandwich. What was when was this?
This was years ago.
Were the special ones you made?
Nothing really over the top or anything. Just your standard.
Fair, but they would have to be pretty special if, as you guessed, TV would serve 1,700 portions of nachos a day.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I think the last time I bought nachos might have been when we went to that quiz at
Kickers. Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, oh, yeah, maybe.
I can see, I think, yeah, student unions, hostels, you're guaranteed nachos on the menu, aren't you, realistically? Yeah.
I mean, they're good. They're good sharing foods.
Mm. Oh, yeah. They're good to go alongside a quiz as well, actually. Mm. Sort of dip, you know, you can one hand win the nachos, one hand, you know, a dippable hand.
Yeah.
The other hand for, you know, keeping score, etc.
One for your wets, one for your dries. That's how they do it. Cool. Well, let's get into the game. I should probably do an intro for it. The percentage game.
We can spend our 20 quid in nachos. Can we go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We take five questions that are done at our weekly pub quizzes, and Louis brings them here. We put them through the quiz machine. Jack and I have to guess the answer. We work together on that. Mm-hmm. And then we try and guess the percentage of teams that got each question correct. And then at the end, there's like scores and stuff. And whoever gets the most points wins.
Mm-hmm. I'm on a little hot streak. I'm on two. I've won the last two on the spin, which means it's incredibly likely I'll crumble today.
All right. Let's hope so.
Hello.
Hello.
Are we all good?
Yeah.
Ready to go.
Nice. Super duper.
Jack and I have got whiteboards.
Yeah. It looks like you've colored your nails in with your pen.
No, they're blue. My pen's black.
Oh, they're blue.
Yeah.
Midnight blue. I like
very
it.
Dark blue.
And dark blue.
And a very bad paint job.
Okay. Yeah, five questions. Jack's going for a hat trick. Scott's not won since the heady days of July.
Oh my word.
No, well, that's terrible.
Including the mini pods that went out during the Fringe.
No, I think I got one. But and this is just for Jack's ears. We recorded those in July.
Oh, yeah.
All right, everyone can come back now.
Yeah, five questions. Let's go. Question one. The Ugg sheepskin boot originated in which country?
Oh my word, I have no idea.
So yeah, where are Uggs from? What country?
I have a big idea. I think it's Australia.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. Something
that deservedly proud of. They have really taken over the world. They probably peaked around the same time as nachos, actually.
There's probably a correlation there.
A spurious correlation.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I didn't realize that until I like came over here. And then I used to wear them a fair bit just around the house. I don't wear them outside because I feel like I would get them too mucky. I'll throw back to the intro.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
The first time.
Pointed at Louis. I didn't mean that you're like a dirty boy.
Yeah. Great audio feature as well. The first time we met my granddad's wife, she was wearing Uggs and she mentioned it. And my dad went, oh, are those silly boots? Like immediately for the first 10 minutes.
Love it. A silly boot.
Yeah. People just shit on something immediately.
Yeah. Right. No questions asked. It's not an unfair description of an Ugg, but I think, you know, it wasn't intended as complimentary. It could be complimentary. I love a silly boot.
Out of all the boots, it's probably the silliest.
Out of all the boots? Yeah. No, it would be those red ones. Those, was it Astro Boy? Have you seen them?
Like a moon boot.
The red boots that like come up to your knee, and they just type in like red boots in Google.
Oh yeah,
red boot. Okay, right, like Bomberman sort of.
Yeah, what was his name? Yeah, Astro Boy. Astro Boy. Was that a song?
I don't know.
Astro Boy was the song.
I see.
Yeah, they're pretty silly boots.
Yeah, that's true. Well, maybe they're the silliest.
It's probably the silliest fluffy boots.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not a serious boot. Anyway.
Nah.
Yeah.
I got two pairs now.
Correct.
Yes.
We're not going to beat around the bush. It's Australia. Scott knows this one. Yeah, from the 1930s.
Really? Did they used to have a practical purpose?
Yeah. Keep your feet warm. I don't know.
Nice.
I got a couple of pairs, not of the Ugg brand, but of the similar style.
Respect. You see, I have no idea regarding percentage here, because obviously I had no idea. You got that straight away, but you're native. I've got nothing to go on here at all. Right.
Okay. You got your Uggs over here?
Yep.
Do you own Crocs as well?
I don't own Crocs.
Espadrilles?
No. Mm. Only one pair of silly shoes for me.
I've hit my quota, thank you.
I've got a an in-home one, and then one with like a thicker rubber sole.
Right.
That I guess I could wear outside if I did. I don't.
Is that in case you get electrocuted?
Smoking shoes.
That's it.
Essentially, yes. You can't, because Crocs, you can get the fur-lined ones now as well, so they're kind of stealing into Uggs market.
Mm. I'd rather Uggs than Crocs.
Mm. Interesting poll for you there. Percentage, 2-2-1 to go.
Oh.
Right. So, Jack, you've said...
56%.
56. Scott?
53%.
Joined at the hip again.
So you're not that confident that people know this.
Jack's thrown me.
Yeah. It says in the box, doesn't it? Like, does it not say?
I think so, yeah.
So we're asking what percentage of people own Uggs.
Yeah, maybe that's it. But there, again, there are alternatives to Ugg brand.
Right. And it sounds like you're not, you're on the BBC trying to...
We don't have to do this here.
Uggs can sponsor us if they want. Yeah. Uggs are from Australia, correct. We've got a 56 and a 53. This one came out 79%. Ooh,
good grief.
Interesting.
So Jack's closer. 23% away, he gets 2 points. Scott, you're further away. You get 1 point.
Hmm. Unwittingly psyching you out there.
Yeah. Oh, was that a play?
I'm right. Yeah, the momentum is unstoppable.
Yeah, psychological.
He's a counter-attacker.
Hmm. Hmm. Yeah, you just don't own Uggs?
Nah.
Nah.
No, I don't really suit a boot.
What do you wear at home?
To be fair, I go slipper socks my usual.
Like with a little bit of grip on the bottom?
A little bit of grip on the bottom, yeah. But nice and snug.
I've got them as well. Couple of pairs.
How are you? Mate. You've got a lot of house shoes.
You like your feet about to relax.
Comfort. Yeah, all about comfort. Are you a shoes off inside?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Generally speaking.
For a mucky boy. Question Doss. What was the real first name of the American singer Prince?
I think I know this one. I think it's a slight double bluff, this question.
Prince's first name.
Mm. I think his first name is Prince.
Okay.
I think it's the most simple mononymic, like Madonna's real first name is Madonna. Right. I think it's just reducible to Prince. Unless we're talking since he changed his name and it's love symbol.
Yeah. The artist formerly known as Prince.
His real first name is The.
I'd believe it.
I read, because he had just started writing an autobiography before he died. Oh, really? So they published like a few chapters of it, bulked out with a load of pictures and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's really, really interesting because he wrote in a very, you know, like all of his song titles is like, I would die for you, and it'd be for the number four. And you, he wrote like that, and they put that as, so that's how they published it. Every time he said I, it would just be a symbol of an I.
Oh, wow.
He'd do the drawing of an I. And so it's written in this almost text speak.
Oh, yeah. This whole thing. Sounds like Charlie from It's Always Sunny.
Yeah. Mix of hieroglyphs and emotes and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's really, it was very, very sweet, actually. It was really interesting how, you know, idiosyncratically. He wrote.
Like, was it Da Vinci wrote in like mirror writing?
Oh, yeah. Legend.
With his bad hand.
Bad hand. Bad hand is my favorite Prince song. I'd say Prince.
Yeah, I think that's the clever bit of the question.
Correct.
Ooh.
Prince Rogers Nelson.
Yeah.
So actually, his sort of second name's a more first namey than his first.
Could have gone for Rog. probably not as catchy as Prince.
That's incredible.
Oh. Okay. Cool. But what percentage of people know that? Because some people are very into Prince.
Yeah. But. And I think quiz goers in general, it's a classic quiz question trope. It's dare good, I good say trivia. is the real name of the celebrity is the old Maurice Micklewhite, Michael Caine kind of scenario. But he's not one of those sort of Hall of Famer, who is
Robert
this
Zimmerman.
Real name.
Yeah.
Yeah, Robert Zimmerman. I would say Harry Webb, Cliff Richard is a big classic one as well.
Okay.
It is funny to me that someone in the 50s thought Cliff was the sort of up and coming name.
Yeah, my grandfather's name Cliff.
Yeah.
Cliff.
Clifford, big red dog. Okay.
This is tough, man.
But then also you might catch a few people in the net of, just put Prince. It's probably...
Or people who put Prince as a placeholder so that they remember what the question was.
Just leave it.
And then jam their way to the points.
I do see that a lot. Okay.
The name Cliff was adopted as it sounded like Cliff Face.
What?
Which suggested rock.
Oh, you are joking.
It's like 2 degrees of separation.
That is... They are giving far too much credit to the sort of teenage 50s public there.
Oh, Cliff Richard specifically.
Yeah. Right, not your granddad. He rocked.
Incredibly quick genealogy. Yeah.
23andMe, is that the...
Prince boy, turn them around. Okay, you guys spend a lot of time together, are you?
Yeah.
Jack, you've said...
65%.
Scott.
61%.
61%. Right, again, you're close to each other. We've got a 61 and a 65. This one came out at 33%.
Oh.
Sexy motherfucker!
So only 28% away. Scott wins.
Oh,
2 points.
Claim that.
2 points to that
you
man.
You people.
30, what did you say? 30?
33. Blimey. I'd be interested to see some of the guesses at that, what people are going on.
Yeah.
For that, if not, Prince, if you don't know, it's one of those questions, you know it or you don't really. And that's what you were saying. You convinced me that time that people would just guess Prince.
But then people, for that one, people are just pulling things out of the air. If it's not,
Yeah, you've not got anything to go on at all.
Interesting. People are so interesting.
Yeah. Mm. That's a really good, really great bit of question writing as well to sort of lead people astray from the everlasting light there. Have we got any more fun facts about Prince?
No, I'll put away my Cliff Richard.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll talk about Cliff all day, to be honest with you.
Turned into a Cliff cast.
Fun facts about Prince.
Are you going to say that he wrote Nothing Compares to You?
No.
Oh. Purple Rain's a big song in Oktoberfest.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know, it just comes on and people just go nuts for it.
It's a good one that put your arms around identically dressed strangers around you and sway at the end of the night.
After
I can see that.
A few lemonades,
Fun facts, his father was a jazz musician. Prince Rogers was one of his stage names.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool.
It's like naming your child your username. Prince wrote his first song, Funk Machine, on the piano when he was just 7 years old.
Incredible.
Doesn't say how good it was.
Yeah, yeah, it could be Mozart.
I don't want to throw shade at him.
Just
I like Prince.
Yeah.
Oh, absolute legend.
He's probably better later on in life than he was at seven.
You'd hope so.
I wouldn't pay to see a seven-year-old Prince.
I would love to hear that composition, though.
Yeah, it's not good for a Super Bowl.
No. Especially at that time, it's bedtime.
Yeah.
Curfew.
Those are my official Prince facts.
Beautiful.
Well, thank you very much. Let's go to an ad.
If you're looking for a social, corporate or fundraising quiz from the GQ team, get in touch with us via emailing events@goosesquizzes.com or visiting our website.
Short boy.
Yep. To add two.
Prince.
At seven.
What are we on? Question three. It's been pretty neck and neck so far between you two. Question three. Scott Summers copied which Greek monster for his superhero alias? So a lot going on here. Scott Summers copied which Greek monster for his superhero alias?
Have you just put this in because we got very found out on our Greek/Roman knowledge last week?
Oh, yeah. It's the second week in a row.
Getting called out.
Jumping into
Scott
the
Summers.
The Greek world.
So who have we got? We've got the Cyclops.
Yeah.
We've got the Minotaur. That's Theseus and the Minotaur, isn't it? So yeah. That's...
Scott's glazed over here.
yeah. There's... What other villains are there? Villains, monsters. They do. They really have villains.
One of the monsters.
Villains.
Birdman.
Yeah.
Right.
The Michael Keaton Oscar winning movie. I just can't see what good would come of being a Minotaur or a Cyclops. What you'd gain?
I think. Well, Cyclops is old mate in X-Men, right?
Oh, there we go.
The
along with Wayne Rooney.
Laser. Yeah, what a Greek, what a Greek narrative. yeah, I'm pretty sure his name was Scott.
That's
because that's something that I remember.
Because that's your name.
Because it's very similar to my name.
Yeah,
it rhymes with my name. There was another Summers. Was Summers Wonder Woman?
No. Jamie Summers.
Jamie Summers was.
No. Yeah, there was a Wonder Woman.
The Bionic Woman.
Princess Diana. Wonder Woman.
That sounds like a promising lead to me. That if you know a Scots-based Cyclops.
That was the. that was the first thing I thought was Cyclops.
Do we know what his power? What is his
James
powers?
Summers?
Yeah, couldn't. Sorry. Yes, you continue, Louis.
Summers. So not Summers.
Right.
Summers.
Not like the
good stuff.
Season. Yeah, I think Cyclops just had to wear glasses all the time because he had like an uncontrollable laser eye.
You didn't watch the cartoon series?
No, I did not. No. He's way beyond me.
You didn't either?
Nah. It's supposed to be quite good.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of it. He was always a nerdy.
But so he was glasses wearing, so he didn't have just one eye. He didn't wear a monocle in the center of his face.
No.
I think his costume did to focus it.
Yes.
Yeah. It looked like a minion.
Sounds like more admin than it's worth. This superpower. If you have to sort of rein it in so terribly, you can't get your eyes out at any point in your life. You've got to have additions to your costume.
He was definitely one of the superheroes that made you think.
Yeah. You know? He was a bit of a dick in the film as well.
He was played by James Marsden, wasn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
What an actor.
Yeah. And his girlfriend was the one that, like,
Jean Grey.
Jean, if she touches you, then she takes.
No,
is that it? Nope, okay.
No, that's Rogue.
Rogue,
which we talked about.
Jean Grey controlled the weather.
Was,
that was Halle
Berry. What did Rogue take? If you touch
skin on skin contact, I think she would take your life essence. So it wasn't just superheroes; it was ordinary people as well. She would.
So when she was like quite injured, she like touched Hugh Jackman. Or Wolverine, as he's known in the films. And so she got like the quick healing thing, but he also started to lose his. So he was all messed up.
Yeah.
So he was like, oh, well, I'm not healing quick, so I'm probably going to die.
God. Imagine being a superhero. You're just basically the drainer. That's terrible. That's absolutely terrible. That's manifesting my worst possible fears about myself as a person.
Well,
the beg friend.
Well, you can go back and watch the series.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd probably enjoy it differently as an adult.
Yeah.
I think Scott Summers was the mature one, which is probably why I didn't like him as a child.
Right.
He was very sensible.
Okay, so he wasn't...
Sensible Cyclops.
Oh!
What did Jean Grey do? She was just real smart.
Psychic.
Super smart. Yeah. Until the future.
Could read minds and then was possessed with like an alien spirit. Oh. The Phoenix, Dark Phoenix.
Okay.
Fabby. So is it Cyclops?
Yes.
Yay! Well done, Scott. You're carrying this today.
Minotaur. Carrion. That's a good Greek reference. One person's going to get that. Worst superhero was from that series. There's probably loads. One I can think of was the one that could shoot fireworks.
Oh, okay.
That was bad.
That was it?
Yeah.
It's like in Labyrinth. When Ludo, the enormous monster, has the power of summoning rocks, he just yells, and then the village gets pelted with rocks. It's only useful in extremely specific situations.
Jubilee,
yeah,
was the firework.
Oh, never heard of them.
No,
Not if they're not in the films.
I think she's in one of the films. Let me just double. I don't want to put her down if she does more than shoot fireworks.
All right.
Just out of her body.
Abilities: pyrotechnic energy, plasmoids generation, and manipulation.
Gaslighter. Incredible.
All right. Okay, I've got a percentage.
Okay. Me too. 3, 2, 1, turn.
Oh. Outrageous.
So, Jack, you've said
70%.
And Scott, you said
74%.
Oh, you fellas are close.
It's a crucial.
We got to talk about something different in the office when we're alone.
Then just trying to say the same number at the same time for hours on end. A 70 and a 74. One of you's bang on. One of you's not. The answer came out 70%.
Oh, my word. That felt like a crucial point. I did that.
Double points. No, not really.
Oh, I got excited for a second then. Blimey.
I can give you more.
Please.
Greek mythology background instead of ragging on shit X-Men.
Yeah.
Cyclops is one eyes. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
Super hench, is what the note says. two versions of Cyclops' story. Either very skilled blacksmiths who helped Zeus and then forged the mythical lightning bolt and ended up working for Hephaestus in his workshop in Mount Etna.
Mm-hmm.
Fun. Or a bunch of dim-witted sheep herders from Sicily.
Right.
Got two very different reputations.
Mm. If you had to make a choice as a young Cyclops, yeah. I think I know which one I'd go for. Was Goliath from David and Goliath Cyclops?
That's a very good question. I don't...
Is that anything? Is that...
This feels like one of those things at the Mandela effect.
It may be.
Or maybe now that like said, Simpsons Treehouse of Horror
now that
effect.
You've said that, that's all I can think of.
Yeah.
Mm.
I'm sure he wasn't.
I don't know. Or was the Goliaths a group of people... I don't know. Maybe I saw a cartoon once where he just had like...
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. In my, the first thing that springs to mind is Treehouse of Horror.
Right.
Rewriting history. I could be very wrong about that.
Or David just like yeeted a rock into his forehead.
he became a Cyclops.
Yeah.
Nice. But yeah, I know. It does make you think like, you know, everyone in the world has got a very slightly different perception of you. To some people, you're blacksmith to the gods. To some, you are a moronic sheep farmer. Yeah. Blimey.
Cyclops. Check out Scott over there.
Two very different origin stories.
I think they have two eyes.
Okay. Bi-clops.
Hey.
All right. We've got some more voice. We've dipped into the bag of voice notes that we had for the Fringe. And we're... I quite like this one because it was very... It was all very exciting, but this bit in particular was quite exciting for me. So, all right, that is night number done, and what day is it? It's sort of Wednesday. Yeah, it was great. Probably the quietest night we've had so far, but it was a lot of fun still. We hammered through a few of the, almost all the rounds actually. Goose is a bit sad he didn't get to do a dice round, but there's always time. Another big win for everyone. And we're getting poached for the Montreal Fringe, so it seems. So we'll see what comes from that. Yeah, someone from the Montreal Fringe came and was like, this would be a hit! So... Canada?
I would love that so much. Their fringe is very, very different because I did follow this up with this lovely lady who came along and enjoyed the show. And basically, the way that it works is you sort of enter it by ballot. It's a much, much smaller, obviously, because everything in the world is much smaller than the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. But yeah, so if you are from abroad, you enter in early. It's done by ballot. They've got caps on ticket pricing, etc. You've got a maximum ticket price, which is equates to about £7, something like that. So it was doubly amazing to be sort of headhunted for something like that because it's a very different feel. It's a very community-y kind of feel. But they're, you know, they've got a certain amount of local shows and a certain amount of foreign shows. But yeah, no, that was good. And to have, and I think that voice note also speaks to a real strength of the elimination game in that was. if it's the Wednesday I'm thinking of, it was the quietest night of the whole run.
Yep.
I think it was we about 40 folk turned up, and it was still great. And we got recognition for it, and you could still hear that you were still buzzing about it, despite it. You know, it shows that it works equally well on a larger and smaller scale.
Yes, scalable. Mm. That was great. The person specifically came in to like have a chat with us after like they left, and then came back and like, oh, by the way, cool, nice.
Yeah, it was super exciting. But yeah, maybe in a couple of years' time,
we'll see. We'll see. I quite enjoyed this voice message as well.
Hello, just about 8:30, our night off, passed by the venue. Pretty quiet, apart from a small boy outside holding a green balloon. I don't know if there's something to read into that. Excited for the show tomorrow.
And did you find any more information?
That's the first time I've heard that.
We found out who the small boy was.
Right.
Goose's small boyfriend.
Please don't just leave it like that.
No, the person Goose kept seeing around town.
Ah, right.
It's someone from Instagram.
Yes. Oh, did he find out who it was?
Yeah, yeah. I think he sent it through. I think it was some northern guy who disappointed Jack didn't realize just right. from looking at him.
Yes, to explain, there was a guy at the fringe who Goose kept seeing everywhere out the corner of his eye and was convinced he knew who it was.
Yeah.
None of us spotted this person at any given point. And so we wondered if it was sort of fringe fever setting in a little early. But no, thankfully it turned out he was real.
Right.
He wasn't really outside the venue. I made that up.
Ah, trick.
Just to freak him out. He was inside the vet, no.
I love that idea of you dropping by, seeing empty out of spite on the days that we're not there as well. Just keep an eye. Oh, nobody there? No, fair enough. Fair enough.
Oh, you need us for people? Nah.
It was incredible.
Good. It was good.
Question 4.
I'm just getting well hydrated.
Two thirsty boys. Question 4, big important one here. It's got you to do well.
I'm trying.
It's longer. Which French company is the largest sporting goods retailer in the world with over 2,000 stores in 56 countries and regions?
Okay.
So French company, largest sporting goods retailer in the world. 2,000 stores, 56 countries and regions.
This is hard, man.
Sporting goods retailer.
Yeah.
All the major ones I can think of are pretty certainly not French, that are in this country anyway.
Like what, Adidas? Like
Adidas is German.
Nike.
American? American, I presume.
Reebok. Would you consider that one of the big ones?
I don't know, I don't know if there's a Reebok store anywhere. Oh, I can't think of the last time I saw a Reebok store.
Lacoste. That's not really sports, is it? Yeah, not really.
It's not a bad shout in terms of sort of being everywhere, being literally everywhere.
Mm.
Sports Direct is very, very definitively British. Most Brexity of companies.
Big Mugs.
This is hard, man. This is really hard.
Puma.
I think that could be French at the very least. But
Fila. Fila?
Yeah. Oh gosh, I'm really lost with this one. Out of those guesses, I don't mind Lacoste. It's kind of high end is the thing, which means you'd assume it was a bit more limited edition. But I can also see it having a bit more of a worldwide reach. I'm so trying not to cheat, but looking at your laptop, this is agony. I tell you what, if I was doing the quiz as a punter this week, I'd have disgraced myself. I'd barely any clue so far.
Wow. Sorry, I was just Googling some of your guesses. Puma's from Germany.
Okay, so it's not Puma.
Fila is South Korean.
Oh,
blimey.
No, wouldn't have pinned that.
Right.
Headquarters in Seoul.
Also part of me is worried that
1911.
Good grief.
Oh, no, maybe not, actually. Sorry. The company was founded in Italy,
mm.
and then it's been transferred to
I
Korea.
I see.
Ah, it's less exciting.
But I still feel like... I'm still slightly worried that these are... out of date, I guess. I don't, are the kids wearing Fila and Puma nowadays?
What's everyone wearing on TikTok? Speedo? That's a pretty specific sport, though.
Yeah. I'm really struggling.
Have we said it?
No.
We've not said
really?
It yet.
Can we? Are we anywhere near it? Can we have any kind of clue?
You're
Spalding.
Closer with Sports Direct.
Okay, so sort of lots of multi-brand kind of sales outlet. What are we missing? Is there one in Edinburgh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. New look. New Topshop.
And this,
Sports.
I'll give you one more guess each.
Oh, no. There'll be people screaming at this. This is horrendous. Are we really embarrassing ourselves?
We'll find out shortly.
Sports. How French is king of trainers?
Lululemon.
Okay.
Well, that's a shout. Is it that?
No.
It's just too high. It's always too high end.
Oh, I don't know.
It's a bit, but and that's also wrong as well, given that it's a sort of factory outlet. Lots of selling all sorts of different stuff.
Canadian.
Lululemon.
Yeah. Apparently, unless Wikipedia changes halfway through.
Nah, just tell us.
Nah, Decathlon.
Oh, I thought that was Spanish.
I would never have got there in a million years.
Well,
right, okay.
How does this affect things?
Well, that Blimey. Makes a lot of sense then.
So do we trust the public as much as we distrust ourselves in that one? I've never been in Decathlon. I couldn't tell you where the Edinburgh one is.
Towards the zoo.
Oh, I see. That is a shop that has passed me by.
Oh,
in its
go.
Entirety.
You'd love it.
Yeah, it's good.
Sports, camping stuff.
Backpacks.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyday
a place where a dad would enjoy shopping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. There's a lot of cargo shorts there.
How many? That'll be the equivalent question as to how many nachos at TV. How many zips in total are there in Decathlon?
Yes, there's a lot of zips.
Yeah, lots of reef shoes. And
yeah, it's very not Spanish. It's from Lille in France, north, east.
Okay. Why did I think it was Spanish?
Good grief. Okay.
One of my Spanish friends used to work there in Spain.
Right.
That was the first time I ever heard of it, so I thought it was right. Okay, we did it. We've sleuthed it.
God, that took a while. yet another stab in the dark.
Oh, wow. So they've got their own brand, in-house brand for all the different sports that they sell.
Mm.
I mean, things like field hockey, squash. What's hunting, diving, badminton, combat sports, kite surfing, cycling, tennis, trekking, cricket, paddle sports.
Oh, broad old remit.
Yeah, they just make a whole bunch of things.
Cool.
Anyway.
All right, let's record our next podcast from Decathlon.
Oh, let's go. We've got, £10 on nachos, £10 in Decathlon. 3, 2, 1, turn. Okay, Jack, you've said
42%.
Scott?
55%.
Again, one of you's bang on.
Oh, good grief.
A 42 and a 55. This one came out at 55%. Yeah. So Scott comes straight back into it.
What a tussle. You've stolen my glory there immediately after I got it bang on.
Two 9-dart finishes in a row here. Unreal scenes.
Blimey. Well played.
To make it a tie in the final question.
Oh, this is horrible.
What a show we're putting on.
It's the closest I ever come to actual sporting competition in the week as well. What a thrill.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get our own line and decathlon. I don't know what we'd put. Whiteboards and markers. I don't know.
Yeah, go for it.
Decathlon, get in touch.
Final question. Question 5. An appendectomy is surgery to remove what body part?
Now is this a double bluff again?
Nah.
It can't be, can it?
What depends what you're going to say.
Well, it's just appendix obviously springs to mind.
I think so.
This game has melted my mind. For goodness sake.
Oh my God. Appendectomy. Surely it has to.
Yeah, I think we just commit to it. If we look like fools, we look like fools together.
Unless it's like appendage.
No. You remove your penis.
Well, probably not you. But yeah, appendix.
Yeah, let's just lock in. Let's come on. I'm sick of this double bluff nonsense.
We've cracked Jack.
He's been through the ringer here. You're saying...
Appendix.
Correct.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Now the fun begins.
Now, yes. Oh, crikey, oh, bloody Riley.
Is that the very front of the book? Or the appendix? Or is that the end? Glossary is the end. Where they go through the...
Yes, of course.
There's an appendix in books.
Yeah, there is. In books.
You're sounding so smart.
There's appendix in books.
An appendix page... is a section located at the back of the book that includes any additional or supplementary information on the book's topic.
Okay. All right. Okay. I should really just focus on the sentence that I'm saying before thinking of the next one to say.
Okay. Oh, this is horrible. This is absolutely horrible. Right, I'm going for it. I'm just putting down the first answer that comes into my mind.
For glory.
And I'm going to change it slightly.
And then I'm going to take a step back and modify.
Everyone got their appendix?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever had anything removed. Whether
doesn't forget anything. Doesn't lose anything. Doesn't even lose body parts.
Yeah.
Aside from teeth.
I've never had extracted. I've lost teeth, but...
I had to have four out before I had my braces because I had too many teeth for my mouth.
Oh, really?
Which I'm getting injected underneath your tongue is not a pleasant experience whatsoever. Yeah, two injections underneath there, and then I had wisdom teeth as well. I don't know why I'm such a teeth factory. there's a shark descent from a shark somewhere down
some
the line. It's full of teeth and cartilage. That's my Tinder bio, by the way.
Teeth and cartilage.
Full of teeth and cartilage.
Yeah, maybe you should get something taken out. Maybe that's what's wrong with you.
Okay, thank you.
Next social. What can we get removed?
Yeah.
Paint them up like operation.
Blood as well. I know that's not necessarily removed.
Yeah. Well,
it replenishes.
I almost got my tonsils out, but the person that I saw, the only ENT in my town, just didn't believe me.
Oh,
but I was in hospital for a week. And he's like, if you'd just gotten out of hospital, you wouldn't be here now, like walking around and that. I was like, no, I got out last week. Like, I can see the date right there. It says on the sheet that you've got. And he's like, nah.
Unbelievable.
All right, cool.
So you should have had them out. And they.
I don't know if I should have. They don't really take tonsils out anymore, do they?
Don't think so.
Mm. Well, I've still got mine, so. All right, I got a percentage.
Okay, do you want to guess the other mammal with an appendix?
Ooh, whale.
Jack,
a horse.
I don't know what is it. I don't know what a non funny answer is going to be for this. What does the appendix?
Yeah, I don't actually know what it does. To be honest,
it's like a gallbladder.
Yeah, people don't know. I think they're still trying to figure out.
Right. Really?
That's where all the extra information is.
Yeah,
stored.
Well, there's a theory that it's handy because it contains all the good bacteria. And so when you're recovering from infections, it's like the, you know, where it goes to get it sometimes.
Okay.
Anyway.
Digs into the well.
Yeah. The other mammal with an appendix is the ape.
Oh, for goodness sake.
It sounds like a start of a joke. The appendix.
Wow.
Right. Sorry about that.
They don't count.
They're
close to cousins. Yeah. I, for goodness sake.
Don't have to flick back too many pages in that book.
No. I mean, yeah. Okay, 3, 2, 1, turn. Okay, so Jack, you've said...
84%.
Scott?
94%.
Oh...
be exactly in the middle.
Neither of you is bang on.
Something new.
84 and a 94. This one came out at 98%.
Whoa!
Ah, smart almost, cookies.
Almost everyone got it right.
Nice. Well done, everyone.
Well done, Scott.
So that means Scott takes 4 points in the last two questions to find his form again and win today's episode.
Incredible.
Well done.
Nice. Yes.
You deserve it because you carried us through most of those answers, to be fair.
Wow.
It's just because he was born.
it's just luck of the draw. As my celebration, I'd like to plug Outside the Box.
Yes. Me
give us some
too.
Information.
October the 19th, Thursday night, 6:30 p.m. at Assembly Roxy. It's a fabulous lateral thinking extravaganza as ever. Lots of salty snacks available. Lots of fantastic questions written by Mark that you're not going to hear anywhere else. If you're a member of our Patreon, you'll have seen that I've bashed up a round from last time as well. So even if you can't make it or you want to have a wee look at what it's like, get yourselves over there as well to the fundraising wing. Mm-hmm. And if you come into our in-person quizzes, you're going to get that round at some point over the next couple of weeks as well with a special prize to win. A little additional quizzing upon quizzing upon quizzing. I believe the round is about animal scientific names. Oh. Sort of Latin names. Okay. It's very, very gratifying to puzzle together. Nice. So Thursday 19th of October, if you fancy that and you're about.
Thank you very much. For everything else, jump on the social media. We're on Instagram. That's where a lot of the stuff goes. Twitter, Facebook. Sorry, it's not Twitter anymore, is it? X. Where you can tweet. Do you still tweet on X?
They've rebranded it to posting. They're just making it much, much posting. More generic.
Oh my God. So anyway, any of those ones. We're on MySpace, Bebo. Send us a letter. Our address is probably somewhere on the website. But thank you for listening. Really love that win for me. Hopefully next week, carry on. But that's it. Done. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ta-ra.
This is a big shout-out to all the Patreons that support the Fundraising Wing. Stephen Lamb, Gatho, Catherine Andrews, Russ Kirk, the Canadian half of Hugelit Goose, Luddite 16, Susie Pope, Joe Williams, Rachel Alexander, Howl Owl, Shara Gatari, Icy Canuck, Joanna MUFC fan, Just a Girl in the USA, and the other Patreons who have chosen to remain anonymous. We love you all and are grateful for your involvement. If you want to support us helping provide charities with free fundraising quizzes, please visit patreon.com/goosesquizzes for more information.